Welcome to the Hockey Strength Podcast, the official podcast of the world's best resource for hockey strength and conditioning information. HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 24 of the Hockey Strength Podcast, the official podcast of HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com. I'm your host, Brian Sippets. If you have any questions about today's episode, feel free to contact me at HockeyStrengthPodcast@gmail.com. On today's episode, we're going to be talking with the Edmonton Oilers strength coach, Patrick Love. Coach Love is assigned to the Oilers American League affiliate, the Bakersfield Condors. Being a strength coach in the American League can be definitely one of the toughest jobs around, so we're going to be talking to him about some of the unique challenges of being in the AHL. We also want to revisit a topic we covered with Devin McConnell on episode 22 about the importance of training the aerobic system in hockey players and what's the best way to do that. So we'll be talking to him about that. We'll get on the phone with Coach Love in just a minute, but first we want to tell you a bit about HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com. HSC is the world's greatest collection of hockey strength and conditioning information, complete with material from the top NHL, collegiate, and private strength coaches. We have over 800 articles, videos, programs, and webinars, all geared towards improving the performance of hockey players. If you're a strength and conditioning professional, a motivated player, youth coach, or a hockey parent, HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com is the only training resource you'll ever need to produce healthier, stronger, more effective players at any level. We're always posting new content, so check in frequently to see our newest information. If you're new to HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com, you can gain instant access to our members-only content for just $1 for the first 7 days. You can check out training videos, current programs, and articles from some of the best strength coaches in hockey, or they can answer your questions directly in the forum. We know you're going to love the content, but if you're not completely happy with it, simply cancel your trial membership and you'll be out just a buck. After the 7-day trial period, you can continue to be a member for just $14.95 a month, or you can sign up for the year for just $149. That's basically 2 months free. Either option's a great bargain for so much material from the nation's top strength coaches, so don't miss your chance to be a part of the community. Also, if you haven't done it yet, head to the site and download our HSC Essential articles. Those are our top 10 articles of all time, and they're absolutely free to you, so take advantage of it. That's our bonus for you for checking in at the site. All right, we're all set to get started with our guest for today, so let's welcome Bakersfield Condors strength and conditioning coach, Patrick Love. All right, I'm on the phone with the strength coach for the Edmonton Oilers, who is actually assigned to the newly formed American League team, the Bakersfield Condors in Bakersfield, California. We're on the phone with Patrick Love. Patrick, are you getting ready for your big move here?
Yeah, I am, Brian. I really appreciate you having me on. I've been listening for a little while now, so it's very flattering to be on. I'm hanging out in Texas right now and then just preparing for the move to Bakersfield, so a little time off in the off season.
Yeah, so some people may not know, there's been a big California expansion in the American Hockey League, and the Oilers affiliate team used to be in Oklahoma City, where you were going to school. Is that correct? So how did you get plugged in with Oklahoma City?
Yeah, that is correct. We were in Oklahoma City and now transitioning to Bakersfield, as you said. So actually, I kind of grew up in a non-traditional hockey market. I was playing hockey in Texas, and I really was passionate about my training there, and that led me to playing junior hockey in Montana. Thought I knew everything I needed to know about training at that point because I could squat on a Swiss ball at that point. So after that, I kind of realized I didn't know what I was talking about. I started looking at college choices, and one of the best kinesiology programs close to home in Dallas was the University of Central Oklahoma. So I went and applied there. I was playing hockey there for a little while. Unfortunately, I had to stop playing after a series of concussions. But really, that was kind of a blessing in disguise. I got to focus more on learning about training and how I could become a better strength coach and not worry so much about being a hockey player. Then in 2012-2013, the NHL lockout happened. And as a hockey fan, obviously, I didn't want to see that happen. But it ended up being a really, really good thing for me because Edmonton had to do their fitness testing somewhere. And they sent everybody down to Oklahoma City at that time. So the University of Central Oklahoma actually did their fitness testing. And I was fortunate enough, I was invited by one of my professors there. I met the strength coach at the time, Kevin Hanlon, and then I pestered him for essentially an entire year just trying to get an internship and just get my foot in the door. That led to my internship with the team in 2013 and 2014. I was basically a full-time employee, wasn't getting paid. I was just around all the time. Made some good relationships with the guys, the coaching staff, Kevin, and then I actually continued my internship with the team the next year. And there was a point in time in 2014, 2015, this last season, where Kevin had to leave, and I ended up just stepping right in while I was going to school.
Nice. So a little bit of good timing there, but also it sounds like you put yourself in that position by putting your time in for sure without getting paid for 2 years. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think, you know, in your role, I mean, obviously you're helping out in Edmonton when needed. Are you there for training camps and things like that, like the main camp and also the development camp during the summer?
Not development camp this summer. Didn't work out this summer, but I will be there for main camp, it sounds like.
Nice. Okay, so you're you know, a part of the Oilers organization, and they've assigned you to Bakersfield with the teams. Now, I think, you know, formerly, you know, being a former American League player, I think I've seen the challenges that strength and conditioning coaches have at that level. Some guys are interested in the training, some guys not so much. So I think you have a really unique role as somebody who's not only you're dealing with the same thing that NHL coaches are dealing with in terms of scheduling and travel and that kind of stuff, but you're also likely have fewer resources, and you also have the added responsibility of not just maintaining guys throughout the season, but developing them. Because you're going to have the younger guys and the up-and-coming guys. So tell us a little bit about what your role has been there and some of the challenges that you've had or that you've found.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely spoken like someone who's spent some time in the American League. My job really is pretty unique. In some ways, I have to serve two masters because I have to worry about developing the players, as you said, but then there's guys who are just on AHL contracts as well. And they're there to win, and our coaches obviously want to win. So I have to kind of balance winning with long-term development of the prospects too. Really, the biggest thing that we try and do with the training for that is we do have a little bit more training time than what the NHL schedule is like. We have some college weeks where we'll get 4 days of training and then a game on Friday and Saturday and then, you know, another couple days off. So there's some time to get work in there, but we also take advantage of scratch workouts whenever the guys aren't playing. We'll get some sort of lift in, and then post-game workouts as well. But really one of the best things that's going to happen for all the West Coast teams that are going to be in California this year is from a development standpoint, we're going to be playing 68 games as opposed to 76, which the rest of the league is doing. So we'll actually get fewer games. We'll get more gym time, which is something that I'm excited about, and the guys will get more rest as well.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get any arguments from guys saying, yeah, I would really love to play those four more games or whatever or whatever it is.
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's actually eight less games, so that's a pretty big deal for us.
Nice. Yeah, that is, you know, when you factor in all the travel and everything, you'll probably be playing each other a number of times. That lack of travel time is nice.
Absolutely. No doubt about that. And we had arguably the worst travel in the league last year in Oklahoma City. So it'll be a nice change of pace being in Bakersfield.
Yeah, for a couple different reasons, probably.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
this is where I'll edit this out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Man. I get it.
So do you know anything about the facility that you're moving into? What's the setup going to be like for you? Is it going to be pretty conducive to that extra training, or is it going to be something you might have to try to add in there when you get there?
I'm really fortunate that I work for an organization that is really invested in the player's physical development. They put a lot of stock into the training facilities that we're going to have in Bakersfield. Because it was an East Coast team, they didn't have any gym in there at all. So one of the big things they're doing for renovation is blowing out walls so that we can have a new gym. I'm going through the design process right now and getting all the equipment that we're going to need for the guys, but it'll be very similar to what we had in Oklahoma City, if not better. So we'll have a great facility for the guys to take advantage of.
Nice. That's great when you see a commitment to it from the top down.
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about your training philosophy. I know we have one of your guys here training with us this summer, and he's had really great things to say. So, you know, I'm curious to know what are your priorities and how do you go about developing these young kind of up-and-coming players to be ready for the NHL and to be prepared when they get that chance?
Sure. So really we kind of categorize the guys in three different buckets. Basically, they're going to be someone who's gained size, so a hypertrophy guy, someone who's gained strength, or someone who just needs to get a little bit more powerful. And we figure all that out based off their numbers in camp and what I see in the gym. From there, all my programming is pretty much based off five big movements every workout. I just get some sort of push, some sort of pull, some sort of hip hinge, some sort of squat or knee dominant pattern, and then a carry. And then I'll get some core work in there as well, anti-rotation, any extension, the stuff that we've heard ad nauseum. Aside from that, like with periodization, I definitely use a daily undulating pattern where I'll have a day for strength, a day for volume, and another day for power. And then I just keep rotating those within a certain within the certain blocks that we're in. And then as far as conditioning goes, I definitely have some views on what people are saying now about the importance of the aerobic system, especially in elite level athletes. I definitely think that people are misinterpreting some of the new research that's coming out about how important the aerobic system is. So my aerobic training is a little bit different than what a lot of other people are now going toward.
That's interesting. I mean, we've just had a couple weeks ago, we had a conversation with Devin McConnell about that topic, that exact topic is the importance of the aerobic system. Where would you disagree with that, or are you thinking that the aerobic system is important for like a repeat sprint sport like hockey?
Sure. Okay. And I actually listened to that podcast. It was excellent. It was actually pretty refreshing to hear Devin's point of view on this thing, because I think that when people think about endurance training or developing the aerobic system, they automatically jump to they need to do some sort of low intensity steady state or moderate intensity steady state cardio. And I think that is a waste of time. There's more bang for your buck effort that you can get. But as far as the relationship between aerobic capacity and repeated sprint ability, I mean, there is a cap where you'll get a high enough aerobic capacity that it's not going to help you with your repeated sprint ability. And that's actually what I did my thesis on this past year.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, your master's thesis. That's right. I totally blanked.
Yeah,
that's interesting. So we can probably get into this a little bit more.
Sure, absolutely.
So you're saying it helps to a certain point, and then after that, you know, once you're good enough, it's not going to aid with repeat sprint ability.
Yes, absolutely. So I'll give you a little bit more background information on the study that I had. When I was thinking about my thesis, I really wanted to kind of get a better handle on conditioning protocols for the guys that I was working with. Felt like I understood strength training pretty well, but I wanted to understand conditioning a lot better. So I started digging into the literature a little bit, and really there was a huge gap with on-ice testing for on-ice repeated sprint ability and on-ice aerobic capacity. So I found two tests that I was going to use, both which were very specific to the sport. I ran my test. I recruited 11 AHL players. The day that I was getting my results, actually, I was plugging everything into SPSS. I got an email notification that the Journal of Strength and Conditioning Research had just published stuff that was ahead of print. And I don't know why, I just got this little inkling that there's something in there. Sure enough, I click it. Right on the top is aerobic capacity is associated with improved repeated sprint performance in hockey, and it was Ben Peterson's study. So literally, it was funny. I've gotten to talk with Ben about a little bit, and we found opposite results, but we actually have come to similar conclusions. I think that. No, go ahead.
No, so I was gonna. That's the one with. They were doing that up in Minnesota with Cal Dietz as well. Is that the same one that came out like right around April or so?
Yep. Exact. That's the exact same one. Yep. It was Ben Peterson, Cal Dietz, and Fitzgerald, I think.
So you found conflicting results, but you also have similar mindsets on the results?
Yeah, definitely. So having talked with Ben, and I know people are going to shake their heads when they hear this, but it does seem like you can have a minimum VO2 max or VO2 peak of around 45 milliliters per kg per minute and still have a really, really high repeat sprint ability. And one of my participants actually had the lowest VO2 peak, but also had the lowest fatigue index. His fatigue index was very, very low with his repeated sprints. So there's just a ton of different factors that go into this. You know, runners that have the highest VO2 max are not necessarily the ones who are winning the marathon. A lot of times it's the guys who are most efficient. So skating efficiency is a big deal with it. Lactate tolerance and lactate utilization. Guys are able to develop the lactate shuttle a little bit better. They're going to be able to utilize that lactate for energy. Also being able to buffer hydrogen ions, and then VO2 kinetics are obviously a huge factor in that too. And that's something that Ben Peterson has talked quite a bit about.
Yeah, I think with such a complex system, it's going to be, you know, it's tough to nail down exactly what factor is leading to improved performance. Like you said, I think, you know, there's a physiologist here by the name of Steve McGregor at Eastern Michigan University who's working on similar things. So it's he's doing basically looking at quantifying on ice work. So it's one of those things that's a total black box, and you really don't have any idea. Well, I mean, you have some ideas, but it's really tough to get the what's contributing to the improved performance, whether it, like you said, whether it's a higher VO2 max or whether it's just better lactate system, that kind of stuff. So that's a really interesting question. I'm looking forward to more of what's coming out on that. Do you plan to continue studying in that area, or was it an interesting thesis for you and you know, you'll move on more to the strength and conditioning?
No, I mean that's definitely something I'm interested in continuing to research. I make the joke that I'd like to go get my PhD just so I could be Dr. Love, but that really does specifically that topic interests me a lot. There's just so much energy system interaction going on there that it really is tough to nail it down, like you said, but that challenge and being able to quantify things a little bit better and trying to figure out the pieces to that puzzle and how they all fit together, that's it's really interesting. It's something I'd like to be a part of and help answer maybe some of those questions.
So in practice then, with what you've learned through those studies, how does that translate then to the application to your players?
Sure. Well, I mean, first off, if you do have somebody who has a low VO2 max, you have to have them at a high percentage of their VO2 max for a high volume while they're training. So based on the research that I've read, it seems that you still have to spend about 5 minutes at above 90% of the VO2 max. The way that I like to program it is I like to have days where it's higher volume, where you're doing longer blocks up to about 2 minutes, then the work to rest ratio is 1-to-1. And then I have other days where I like to do, you know, more traditional high intensity interval training where it's, you know, 1-to-3 work to rest ratio, 1-to-5. And, you know, you're really going hard and getting a big spike in blood lactate and learning how to buffer that. So.
And, so then, you know, when you're implementing this with your players, is it something that they understand that that's the reason they're doing it? You know, like we talked about before, it can be a grind, you know, the schedule sometimes isn't conducive to that kind of training. Is it kind of a read from a, on a daily basis, or is it a, here's the plan for the year, let's get what we can out of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to have a plan going into it, but having played in the American League, I know that you're aware of how quick things change. We have guys going up and down. You know, the travel schedule is crazy. You know, you're busing all night sometimes and then coming back early in the morning. And sometimes, you know, that's doing conditioning work might be the worst idea. Trying to explain those things to guys, some of the guys really have an interest in it and they want to know more and they try and be students about their training. And then other guys is just, hey, tell me what I have to do to get better. And then I'm going to clock in and clock out. I really just approach that on an individual basis. If somebody's interested, yeah, I'm going to tell them a little bit more. If not, then just come in, get your work done, and then we'll talk later.
Yeah, you're, and again, that's part of your challenge is knowing each player, knowing each player's position in the organization, knowing each player's needs, and what's going to motivate them. So you fully have my respect there. I know it can be tough with a room full of different guys, and you know, it's a huge challenge for you, especially, you know, some guys are on American League deals, some guys are on NHL deals, and there's just a whole bunch of different things that you've got to juggle. So I've got full respect for your position, and from what I hear, you're doing great things there. So keep the good work, and you know, we hope to hear good things soon.
All right, I appreciate it, Brian. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Have a great day.
You too.
All right, that's going to wrap up episode 24 of the Hockey Strength Podcast. Thanks so much to Coach Patrick Love for joining us today. Tune in for episode 25. We're going to be talking to Matt Shaw, Denver Pioneers. We're going to be talking to him about how he gets his players ready during the preseason. This is Brian Sippets for the Hockey Strength Podcast. Until next time, be sure to train smart and check out hockeystrengthandconditioning.com for the web's greatest articles, videos, and programs for training hockey players. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.